You have your Bibles tonight. I want you to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I really am just going to give you kind of just a thought tonight. And we had a couple preachers in the Bible conference that said they were just giving us just going to have a little devotion, you know. And it turned out to be quite the devotion. So maybe tonight we'll just have a little devotion and we'll see what the Lord does. But I do only want to read just one verse. And it is probably a pretty common, well-known verse to all of us, but I want to give you some thoughts out of this verse and pray that it'll be a blessing and help to us tonight. We are a church that wants to serve God, or that's my desire anyways. It's my desire that's my vision for our church and for me as a pastor. That we would be always busy serving God, looking for an opportunity to serve God and serving God in our daily lives, that every morning we wake up and we go throughout our day serving God and our church. Whenever we're together throughout the week, we have things going on, we're serving God together. And so individually, we're serving God. As families, we're serving God. Together, we're serving God. I just want to be a church that's serving God. That's what we're here for. I mean, what's it even matter if we're not serving God, you know? And so that's what it's all about. It's all about doing God's will and serving the Lord. I made up my mind very early on. I mean, from day one, when the Lord called me to preach, and called me. I've always felt, I guess, the call or felt led that God would have me pastor. I've always felt that way. And so from the time I've been here, the time I've always felt God would have me pastor is that I just always had the mentality that, you know, if the place, the church that I pastor, you know, even before I ever even knew I'd be your pastor, I always made up my mind, told the Lord, Lord, if wherever it is I'm pastor, wherever it is you have me in my life, if it ever fails, may it not be said because I didn't try. Amen. And if we see what we're doing, if we see it fail, let it not be said it was because we just didn't try hard enough. We didn't do enough. Amen. And I think that is the reality for some places. I think there are some places that it's going down and it's failing. And I think the reality is they just could be doing more. I think some places, some people sit back and it's just, Lord, just bless us. You know, we're just going to pray them in. And praying them in is part of it. So we got, you know, we know that's part of it. But we never want to stand before God. And it's going to happen anyways, but we want to do our best and not have to stand before God and have just a lot of idle time on our hands or time that we could have been serving Him, doing a work for Him, that we didn't do it. And I know I don't want that to be my testimony. I don't want to have to stand before God with that. And I'm certain nobody here wants that either. And if you love the Lord, you don't want that to be the case with you either. But as we look here in 1 Corinthians 3, there's a verse here, verse number 6, we're going to read. If you look at what he says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Now, that's just a short little verse, and this is just a short little simple thought even, I guess. But right here in this just little verse, this is a great verse in regards to serving God. And more importantly, this is a great verse, a lot of great teaching here, and a lot we can gain from this verse, not just in serving God, but in serving God with success, serving God successfully. I don't want to just spin my wheels and it seemed like nothing's getting done. And the only way you would ever spin your wheels in the work of God would be to be doing something that God wasn't in. Amen. And that's how you spin your wheels. And there's a lot of programs and things that have taken the place of the will of God in the realm of religion. And we don't want that to ever be us. Amen? That's why I've said before, I think, you know, as far as our ministries, the street ministry and the jail ministry and door knocking, all those things, I've always said that we'll do those things until the Lord tells us to quit. Because there's no sense in doing it if God's not in it. And if God, if it's not what God's telling us to do, it doesn't matter. By the way, if God is telling us to do it and it is God's will, then it doesn't matter if there's any results or not. That doesn't matter. It just matters doing God's will. That's what matters, is doing God's will. Whether there's results or no results, that none of that matters. And what matters is just doing God's will and serving God. And that if you'll do His will, we'll serve Him successfully. We will serve Him with success. And so, as we see in this little verse, I see three different things here regarding tasks in serving the Lord and in serving Him successfully. We all want to be a success, I'm sure. And so, as we look here and think about doing tasks and fulfilling tasks in serving God, I want you to notice three different little things here in this verse that I think will help you. First of all, in this verse, we find that there are different tasks. He said, I have planted, Apollos watered. Now that I there is talking about the Apostle Paul. We know he is the one writing this letter to the church at Corinth. And he's talking about Christian growth here and growing in the Lord in this section. And so whenever he says, I have planted, he's talking about himself. He's talking about the Apostle Paul. And so he uses himself to illustrate that we really don't all have the same tasks in serving God. We are not all built the same, and we're not all gifted the same. Paul did the planting, but Apollos did the watering. One man did one thing, another man did another thing. And so they're each doing a different task, but it took both of them. Amen? And that is the way the work of God. You know, see, God in His wisdom gave different gifts and skills and abilities and callings to all of us. Now, some of us have all got the same calling, but not all of us have the same calling. Amen? And there are some general callings of God. We're all generally called to serve God, first of all, if we're saved. And all the lost are generally called to be saved. That's the calling of God on their life, is to be saved. And if you're a husband tonight, your calling is to be a godly husband and to lead your family in a godly way. If you're a wife, you are called to be a godly wife. If you're a parent, you are called to be a godly parent. And by the way, I believe that's all of our first callings. I believe God gave us the home and gave us our homes, and He takes that very seriously. And before everything else, that is our calling. Our calling is to our home. And so we've got general callings, but each of us within the work of God, we are all gifted differently. We have different tasks and abilities. And within all of that, we all have a different calling. And I can tell you what the will of God is for your life in a lot of areas, just based on what the Bible says. But I can't tell you what the will of God is for your life in every area. That's between you and God. And there's an individual will for all of us. For the single people, God has a will in who they marry. And I can't tell you who it is. Amen? I will say this, and I guess we got Kelby here is the only one that I notice. I mean, these other ones are pretty small. So this is just for you, okay? If you're wondering if I'm preaching at you, I am right now, okay? So there's a will. God has a will for you in that. And I can't tell you who it is. That's between you and God. But I will tell you this. Your dad won't have a problem with them, and your pastor won't have a problem with them either. I didn't get near enough amens on that as I should have. Amen? Is that not right? Amen? Is that not the truth? If it's the right one, your daddy won't have a problem with him and your pastor won't have a problem with him either. Amen? And if either one of them does, you better back up and reevaluate. Amen? So that's just for you tonight. All right? And maybe Miss Wilma. Miss Wilma, that's for you too. Okay? All right. What I'm simply saying is I can't tell you the will of God in everything. Amen? You have to decide what God's will is for your life. You have to decide what God's will is, what your calling is. And all of us have a calling. All of us have something that God wants us to do. And He's gifted us with a purpose and with a task and with a plan to be a blessing in the work of God for the furtherance of the gospel. That's what it's all about. It's all about the furtherance of the gospel. If you're if you're preaching or teaching a Sunday school class or, you know, whatever, that's all for the furtherance of the gospel, isn't it? Listen, if you're cleaning a toilet and sweeping the floor, that's for the furtherance of the gospel. Everything we do is for the furtherance of the gospel, and we all have different tasks in that. Whenever Brother Ricky Burnett was here this last time, he blessed my heart so much. I wish everybody had the attitude that Ricky Burnett has. I'm saying there's no telling what could be accomplished in the work of God if everyone had the mentality and the attitude of Ricky Burnett. Amen? I mean, he's a quirky guy. There's no doubt about that. But he's got a heart for God. Amen. And I wish everybody had his heart for God. I wish I had his heart for God. And he was telling me kind of about what they're doing now there with Rock of Ages. And of course, you know they're Rock of Ages missionaries. And for a long time, they worked there in the print shop. And he told me kind of about some things that's happened there at Rock of Ages, some people that have retired and things like that. And so now he's still very heavily connected to the print shop. He's working the print shop, but he's also doing a lot of just taking care of the grounds there too. A lot of cutting grass and weed eating, things like that. Stuff that has to be done. Amen. Stuff that has to be done. And he said, but you know, the Lord dealt with his heart one time because he used to do all that stuff and he would be, you know, riding that tractor, bush hogging and weed eating, thinking. And he said, he'd always think, is this mission work? I mean, is this mission work? I mean, even working in the print shop sometimes, he'd say, you know, is this mission work? Is this doing mission work here? But then he said the Holy Spirit spoke to his heart. He was out riding that tractor, and he got to thinking, you know, all about those men that work there at Rock of Ages, the president of Rock of Ages and the vice president of Rock of Ages, and then they've got another. I can't think of any of these men's names off the top of my head right now. I've drawn a blank. I know all of them, but I can't think of any of their names right now. But they've got one man who's really his job is to get into the school systems. They've got their programs with the public school systems, and he's constantly taking calls and trying to get into different school systems, different areas, and then the president's constantly trying to get missionaries in different countries and take care of all kinds of things. And he said there's been various times that those men, they have the attitude that they want to serve and they will serve. And he's seen all those different men out weed eating at various times and mowing at various times because their maintenance man retired, you know. And so somebody's got to get out and do it, and they're not above getting out and do it. He said, but the Holy Spirit spoke to his heart. What if that one guy is out there weed eating and he misses a call from a public school that he could have got, and that was another school system they got in and could have gotten into, but instead of getting that call, he missed that call because he was out weed eating? Or what if the president of Rock of Ages, Brother Terry Ellis, what if he missed a call? Or what if he missed an important meeting? Or what if there was an important opportunity or an important door open that he missed because he was out mowing grass? And that's very legitimate. I mean, mowing grass has got, I mean, it's got to be done. The grounds want to be taken care of and all those things. And I'm leaving out a lot of details that he gave me. But I'm just simply telling you this. He said the Holy Spirit spoke to his heart and said, Ricky, that is something you can do. And you can do this job. And that would free them up to be out getting the gospel out into those places, getting into more schools, more countries, more mission fields. And that would free them up from having to do it. And so he said the Holy Spirit spoke to his heart. And he used to say, is this mission work? And the Holy Spirit said, sure enough, it is mission work. This is mission work. This is for the furtherance of the gospel. Amen. I'm telling you, anything you do around here is for the furtherance of the gospel, no matter how big or how small, or whether there's a limelight or not. We all have different tasks, and it's all with the same goal, with the same direction in mind, that we are doing what we're doing to get the gospel to more people. Amen. When we give our mission money, it's to get the gospel out. When we take up our regular tithes and offerings, it's to get the gospel out. Whenever we're faithful to church, it's about getting the gospel out. Whenever we go out on visitation, it's about getting the gospel out. Whenever we're pulling up the carpet off the front porch to try to redo the front porch and beautify the church, that's for getting the gospel out. Whenever we sell the parsonage and take the money to start beautifying the house of God, listen, that's about getting the gospel out. And when we vacuum the floors, it's about getting the gospel out. Everything we do ultimately is for the furtherance of the gospel. And even beyond that, it's for God's glory. For the furtherance of the gospel and for His glory. Isn't that right? And we all do different things. Some big, some small, but we all have something that we can do. And so we find the difference in the task. By the way, we'd get nothing accomplished if we all had the same calling and same ability. If we were all the same, nothing would get done. We'd be a big mess. See, this the whole thing of differences and diversity is in gifts and abilities, really that's not even just needed in the church. That's needed everywhere in society. We wouldn't have everything we had today. We wouldn't have all the skyscrapers and all the blessings that we have in America today. Some blessings and some curses, but either way, we wouldn't be where we are as a society if there wasn't a diversity of gifts and skills and abilities. Listen, what if there wasn't some doctor out there that came up with the idea of penicillin, discovered penicillin? What if there wasn't great scientists that came up with all the things that we came up with? What if George Washington Carver hadn't come up with all those ways of using peanuts? You know what I'm saying? I mean, what if God had not gifted different men and different women with abilities to be a blessing to society and to our homes? By the way, even in society, it don't matter how big or how little it is. Isn't that right? Listen, if you're a mother and God's blessed you with children, He's given you a tremendous gift of being a mother and raising a child. The old saying that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. It's not Bible, but there's a lot of truth in that. Isn't that right? One of the greatest gifts you could ever have is a child to raise for the glory of God. I mean, there's no more greater investment in the future than raising a child for the glory of God and sending them out for the glory of God. Raising an arrow for God's glory. Amen. Oh, we all got different tasks. And you don't have to be a preacher or a missionary to serve God, but you do need to be serving God. Amen. There's a lot in church that need doing just beyond preaching. There's tons of things. There's more to it than just coming and sitting on a pew and a preacher just coming and preaching. We all know that, don't we? And so there's a difference in tasks. Listen, don't let the devil ever tell you that what you're doing is small. If you're doing it for God's glory and to get the gospel out, it's big. It's a lot bigger than you realize it is. We're on the little end of something big. Amen. And there's something beyond us. There's something beyond all this. There's something beyond, the things, what seems like menial tasks that we do around. There's something beyond cleaning the church every Wednesday night. Amen. And we want to do our best at that. We want to give God our best because we're doing it for His glory. We're doing it for Him and for the furtherance of the gospel. Amen. We want the world to come in and lost people to come in and say, man, God is doing something here. This place may not be much, but it's clean. Praise God. They care about this place. They love this place. And I'm telling you, you can tell when you walk into a place and people have given their all and people have given their best, you can tell. You can sense it, man. You can also sense it when people are doing half-hearted too. Amen. And so, there's a difference in tasks. Number two, there's a dependence of tasks too in this verse. He said, I've planted, Apollos watered. You say, well, that's what you said the previous point. Well, yeah, because in those same words, not only do we see difference in tasks in that phrase, but we see a dependence of tasks in that phrase. Because see, success in fulfilling God's will in your life or success in fulfilling a task for God oftentimes is dependent upon others doing their task, fulfilling God's will for their life. And even beyond that, it's dependent on other people doing their task properly, doing it with heart, doing it the right way. I don't know about you, but I hate to have to go behind somebody and clean something up when they've done it half-hearted. Amen. I mean, I really do. I hate for somebody to do something and then it's just halfway done or it's not done right. And it's not a matter of they didn't know what they sincerely didn't know what they were doing. They did the best they could. It's just a matter of they knew what they were doing. They knew how to do it. They just didn't do it right. They just did it as quick as they could just to get it over with and get out of here. You know, or just give it over with and move on to the next thing. And then you got to go. You got to take more time. It doubles the amount of time that is invested into a single task. Because then you got to take more time to go in and undo what they've done just to go back and redo it the right way. That drives me crazy, man. I know everybody around here says I got OCD, but I don't have OCD. I've just got character. Amen. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Amen? I just believe if we're going to do it, especially if we're going to do it for God, it needs to be done right. And we need to pay attention to the details. Amen? It's not about just throwing it together and getting it done. It's about giving our very best to God. And you say, well, man, God's not interested in all the details. Oh, I beg to differ. You go read about the tabernacle in the Old Testament. God was very interested in the very intricate details of the tabernacle and the temple. Amen. Anything that God commanded somebody to do for Him, He was very interested in the intricate details of it all. Amen. I mean, even the columns in the temple had things on the top sides of the columns that nobody else would ever see. The average person walking in and out of the temple to work and worship or do whatever, the priest, they would never see that stuff because it was on the top side, facing up. Man would have never seen that. But you know who did see it? God saw it. God noticed. He saw if they went ahead, if they did what He told them to do or not. Nobody else would have ever known. But God saw the details. You know, God's interested in the details of our work too. He's interested in the details of our task. Amen. God is interested. He knows when we've given our all. Nobody else may ever know. But you know when God knows. Isn't that right? And a lot of the tasks and a lot of the things that we do, either somebody else is depending on us or we're depending on somebody else. Again, all this is about the furtherance of the gospel. It's ultimately about the glory of God and the furtherance of the gospel. And there are people that are depending on us to get them to gospel. And all these little tasks along the way is what winds up getting it there. Amen. And by the way, not just getting there, but getting it there effectively. Amen. We want to get it. We want to get there. We want to get it effectively. We want to do a work for God, but we want to do it effectively. This isn't about just serving God. This is about serving God successfully. We want to do it successfully and effectively. And so a lot of times, listen, somebody's depending on you to do your task and to do it properly, do it right. See, if Paul doesn't plant, then Apollos is watering water all he wants to do. He can flood the place if he wants to with water, but it's not going to do anything because nothing's been planted. And if Apollos doesn't water, then the planting that Paul has done, it's going to fail. It's not going to amount to anything. The planting is needful, and the watering is needful. And there's a lot of church problems that are caused by someone just simply not doing their job or not doing their job right. Amen? I know we all have good days. We all have ups and downs. And there's times where we're more on fire for God than not. And there's the ebb and flow of life. And we'd all always walk in fired up. But I'm telling you, whenever we don't feel like it, that's when faith ought to take over. That's when discipline ought to take over. Amen. That's when grit ought to take over. That's whenever commitment ought to take over and say, by the grace of God, I don't really feel like it tonight. And I've had a long day. Or I don't really feel like going out and knocking doors today or tagging doors. Or I don't feel like going on the street corner or going to the jail. Or I don't feel like doing this. Or whatever it is, I just really, in my flesh, I'm just not feeling it today, but you know, God's been too good to me for me to not do it. Amen? And God's sacrificed too much for me to not sacrifice myself unto Him whenever I don't feel like. You think Jesus felt like hauling that cross up to Golgotha's hill? You think He felt like having those nails drove into His hands and His feet? No, He didn't feel like that in His flesh, but He set His face towards that like a flint. Amen? And He was committed, and He commendeth His love towards us in that. He's revealing His love. You know, His flesh didn't feel like that. And that hurt. And there was pain. And there was all the things that go. He was in all points tempted, just as we are. And no doubt His flesh longed to come down off that cross. No doubt His flesh loathed the thought of being beat nearly half to death. But He did it anyways. He committed Himself to you and to me to prove His love to us. You know, that's how we show our love to Him. Is in our commitment. Our commitment. And Jesus has never done anything for us halfway or half-heartedly. Amen. He's always given all for us. And so there's a lot of church problems that are caused just by somebody not doing their job or not doing it right. And whenever someone doesn't do, whenever one of us doesn't do our job, do what God has called us to do, do our job, or do it effective, do it right, then that makes the whole church function deficiently. Amen. I mean, it's just the same, just like sin. Sin affects everybody. It don't affect just you. And not serving God the way we should, I mean, it doesn't just affect us, it affects everybody. Amen? And it's funny how it seems like the first ones to complain are always those who haven't done their job well. I don't think, we don't really have this problem around here. I don't hardly ever hear anybody complaining about much around here, and I say praise God for that. There's not a worse testimony in the world than a whining, complaining Christian, especially a whining, complaining preacher. Amen? God's been too good to us for us to whine and complain. Amen. We ought to be in hell tonight. And so we don't really have this problem right now. I don't hear a bunch of complaints about anything. But I will say this. In my short time in the ministry, generally the ones that are complaining the most and that are the most critical and griping the most about how dead the church is and how they don't like this about the church, they're always, almost always, the ones that are doing the least of everybody. They're the most discontent. They have the most critical spirit. They complain the most about what everybody else is doing or not doing or how they do it differently. And they're almost always the ones that are doing the least. Everybody, you have a work day and everybody's out working, breaking their backs, doing something for God, having a good time. And by the way, you always have a good time when you do something for God. I don't know. You can have a bad day at work, but you can go to the church house and work together and God just fixes it where you always have a good time. I don't know how that is, but that's just the way it's always been for me. Amen. And everybody's got a smile on their face and they're serving God and they're breaking their back and they're sweating her down, but they're doing the work and God's helping them enjoy it. And then you always got that crowd that's standing around doing nothing, but they're critiquing what everybody else is doing. Isn't that right? That is exactly right. And it's always the way that is. And so the ones that are the first to complain are those who haven't done their job or haven't done it well. Amen. By the way, I've never seen anybody be successful in things of God that wasn't successful in something else first. It's rare that I've ever seen a pastor, a man be a successful pastor that he wasn't successful in something else first. Amen. You got to know how to put in a hard day's work, a hard day's labor. These guys that are raised up and they've never worked a day in their life, and they're just going to jump into the ministry and have all kinds of blessings. Normally, they're a flash in the plant, in the pan. They blow in, they blow out because they don't realize how much work there is in ministry. Ministry is work, isn't it? Amen. And so your task is very important, whether it's in the limelight or whether it's not in the limelight. It is an important link in the chain. And if you fail, you'll cause others to fail also. Somewhere along the way, if you fail to fulfill what God's got you doing, and you say, but I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. Well, you need to pray about that. You need to get with God about that. You say, I don't know what I need to be doing. Well, you can talk to the Lord about it. You need to find out what God wants you doing, or you can talk to me, and I'll give you something to do. I ain't going to play the Holy Spirit in your life, but I've got plenty of stuff that everybody can do. There's always something to do, amen? And if we fail to do it, it's going to affect somebody else. It's going to cause somebody else to fail. And I wonder who might be failing or who out there might not being reached effectively. I wonder what might possibly being held back in the work of God that He's wanting to do here in our church, because of something that you or me are not doing or not doing our best at. I just wonder. So there's a dependence of task. And then last of all, number three, and the most important aspect of it all is the dynamic for tasks. He said, the last phrase of the verse, God gave the increase. See, the bottom line is that we must have God's power and God's blessing, or we'll always fail in serving God. You know, I have found my short time in the ministry that this is just, we know it's true because it's Bible, but I found it to be true because of experience. Listen, we can work our fingers to the bone, and at the end of the day, God will either bless and give an increase, or He'll bless and give results, or He won't. And he is going to have to be the one to do it. Isn't that right? You know what it all comes down to? There's an old saying to work like everything depends on you and then pray like everything depends on God. Amen? Pray like everything depends on God. God's got to do it. Then get up and work like everything depends on you, and it ain't going to get done unless you do it. Amen? That's a good mentality to have. Because at the end of the day, God's not going to bless laziness. He's not going to bless us if we're not doing anything. But that doesn't but just because we're doing something doesn't necessarily mean He's automatically going to bless it. But one thing is true. Everything we do in His work and for His glory, if we're doing it with a heart to glorify Him, He is blessing it. He is going to bless it. And He may not bless it in some great increase as far as souls and numbers or whatever. We may not ever even see the blessings till we get over into glory. That we may have to wait till then to see the rewards for it all. But hey, that's all right. As long as we can pillow our head at night knowing that we did what we did to glorify God and we did His will, we fulfilled His will for His life. Listen, there's a sweet consolation in knowing that I have done God's will for my life. Amen? You know, that's the place you've got to get to or you'll be mighty discouraged in these last days. We all will. The greatest times of discouragements in my life and my ministry have come from when I've worked and worked and worked and worked and worked and tried and tried and tried and haven't seen results. Haven't seen the results that I wanted to see. But see, all of that is a matter of perspective. When we get our eyes down here and we're doing what we're doing to see results down here, listen, you're going to be up and you're going to be down. You're going to be get discouraged. But if everything we do it to glorify God. As long as we're doing His will, we can always be satisfied and fulfilled in serving God. Amen. See, all our planting, all of our watering, it'll do no good unless God blesses the work. And we've got to have God's power in service. And when He does give us His power, and whenever He does bring success, I'll tell you, one of the most important things we can do is always remember to praise Him. Always remember to thank Him. A lot of times, man, God will begin to bless something that we're doing, something we put our hand to. And just out of His mercy, He'll bless us. Out of His grace, the thing will grow. I think about that jail ministry. Well, there's been ups and downs in that jail ministry. And we've not seen anybody get saved yet. But there's a thirst there. And these past couple weeks, I've been out of town. Boy, things start happening when the preacher leaves town, you know. The last couple weeks, we had some of the biggest crowds we've had. But there's been ups and downs. There's been times when it's just been one. But you know what we did? We just kept going because we're doing it for His glory. We're not doing it for them guys so much as we're doing it for the Lord. We're doing it for His glory because He wants us to go and He wants us to preach. Amen. And I think now, boy, we've stuck it out and maybe the Lord will start blessing. Maybe some guys start getting saved. I mean, more and more are coming. There's an interest. There's a thirst. There's the crowds growing. Thank God for it. But I tell you, if we're not careful, the crowd will start growing and things will start happening and things God will start blessing what we're doing. It'd be easy, real easy to turn our eyes on ourselves and start thinking, boy, we're doing a great job. We're doing a great job. Yeah, praise God. See, if we're not careful, we look at that and we say, boy, we're doing good. I've been going. I've been preaching. I've stayed faithful, and I've done this, and I've done. I was thinking about brother Chris Simpson. He preached that message here during the Bible conference on getting a handle on humility. And that preacher who wore that sign, you know, and went downtown and preached, you know, and that was a way to get rid of his pride, you know, to humble himself, embarrass his flesh, to go downtown wearing I can't think of what he called it, wear that sign that he wore and then went down there and preached. And that was supposed to be a way to just really embarrass his flesh and really humble him, you know. But then when he got back to the study, he took that thing off and laid it aside and sat down and thought to himself, I bet there's not another preacher in this town that's done what I just did. Pride's so sneaky, so subtle, isn't it? And that's the way it is, boy. We'll just work and work and work and never see anything happen, never see any results. But then God does start blessing. God does start working. And we'll be the first ones to turn around and say, boy, look at us. Look at what a great job we're doing. Hey, we can't ever forget to praise God because one thing we know and one thing we're going to know, if God ever blesses what we're doing, if we ever do see any results this side of eternity, we're going to know it's been God, won't we? I mean, we'll have to know. Listen, it's amazing what this little church is doing compared to what other churches way bigger than us are doing. And I don't say that in pride. I just say praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord for faithfulness and praise the Lord for what He's done in our lives. Listen, wouldn't none of us want to serve God if God hadn't put us in our heart to? But I talk to other preachers at meetings we go out to, and some of them are just amazed at what all our church is doing. Every week, out on the street and going to jail, all these things, and giving to missions with just a little handful of people, supporting a pastor and all that we're doing. I mean, I talked to one preacher just a couple weeks ago at Brother Graffy's meeting. Young pastor, and he was asking me how the church was going. We were just talking about it, and he was asking kind of what all we were doing, and I started telling him all the stuff we were doing, you know, in the jail and everything. And he said, "Man, how could the Lord not bless? How could that thing not grow? That's just amazing, you know, all that your church is doing." He said, "How could God not bless all that?" Listen, there's churches way bigger than us that aren't doing near what we're doing as far as outreach and sending missionaries and all that. And that's nothing for us to get prideful about. Because here's the thing, we're doing all we're doing, but we've not really seen a lot of results or really any results from it. And so I said that to say this, we're being faithful, we're doing it for His glory. There's no reason to be discouraged because we're doing it to glorify God. But what I'm saying is that when and if we ever see growth, when if we ever do see results, we're going to have to know it's the Lord. Because we know that we've been going to the jail for over a year now. No one's gotten saved yet. So we know it can't be us. Folks start getting saved, we're going to have to know it's the Lord. Isn't that right? And so these are some ways to have success in serving God. There's a difference in tasks, and there's a dependence of our task. But then ultimately, there's the dynamic of tasks. That's why we need to be praying. We need to be seeking God, because He's going to have to do a work. Amen. Success in serving God. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for Your word, and I thank You for helping us with it tonight. I pray that You'd help us, Lord, to always be faithful in serving You. Help us to be what You want us to be. Help us, Lord, to continue, Lord, following You and doing Your will. Help us, Lord, to do Your will, but to only do Your will. And, Father, we pray that You would, Lord, bless, Lord, the things that we're trying to do for You. Lord, may we be greatly blessed. And we have been blessed. Lord, You've blessed our church, and You've been good to us. We thank You for it. I pray that You'd continue to bless us, Lord, as we move on down the road, Lord, in the days ahead. Lord, You continue to meet our needs. Help us to be faithful, to continue to go, and, Lord, do what we can to stand for You and get the gospel out in these days. Lord, I thank You for Your people. Thank You for letting us be here tonight. Pray that You bless us as we go our separate ways and the rest of the week. Bless us as we come back this coming Lord's Day. Lord, You prepare us to worship You. Lord, we come with a spirit and a heart of worship. And we come seeking You. And we'll thank You for what You do. In Jesus' name, amen.